And welcome everyone to the Mega Giant BBS Radio. We are Adventures into Sovereignty. I am your host, Andrew Bartzis, and I'm joined by my intrepid co-host, Rebecca Cope. And we have a very, very, very special, 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 special guest that's going to come in and give us an incredible update on what's been going on. Jennifer Williams and Rebecca Cope, welcome again to the show.
Yes. Hello, Andrew. It's always fun to be on here talking about sovereignty and all the things everybody's into. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks, everybody. Nice to be here. Nice to be here. It's nice to talk to you guys again.
Good to have you back, too. And we've had an exciting adventure since we first met at the Rod Class event back in the end of July. And Rebecca was there. We all got to meet, and we had some really, really incredible times. And so what do you have to bring up as an update and also your experiences of what you had at the Rod Class event?
Wow. It was an incredible experience to be able to go to the seminar with you guys. And the thing I think I took away most from his seminar overall was how varied were all the people who came, and just how varied their stories were and who they were as people. And then being able to share how we were all coming together with sort of Rod's information that he's uncovered being sort of the umbrella that seemed to be the collecting point for everybody. It was really amazing. I learned a lot of stuff that weekend and was really thankful to be a part of it. So I thank you guys. As far as an update, I'm trying to think of where to start, really.
like they say in just about every part of the world, start from the beginning.
Yes, they do say that, don't they?
Common thing we could all share. We could all start from the beginning.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. Most everyone who might be hearing me and knowing who I am will only know about me mostly from the conversation that I had last time with you guys on the show about my arrest for my challenging the jurisdiction of a non-moving vehicle traffic violation, which just makes me laugh that they actually put me in jail for 3 days.
It is pretty incredible, isn't it, Jennifer? I mean,
for something that was in no way threatening to anybody, it was not dangerous, it was not. Anyway, so I have actually the next aspect of the trial continuance is scheduled right now for the 28th of August. However, I am in the process of attempting to have that postponed just so that I can continue to research precisely sort of the angle or combinations thereof that I feel will be the straightest shot, if you will, for what we're trying to do ultimately, which is just as cleanly and plainly as possible, lay open the fraud, have it be seen as cleanly and plainly as possible without all the hoorah, and then go from there. I want to just be able to show whoever's in front of me the simplicity of the fraud and have whoever's watching have no doubt of the simplicity of the fraud and be able to see it. That's sort of the goal that I have in my heart. And I have been talking with several people in the last few weeks about the several different approaches that can be done. And there are apparently as many as there are people, I'm learning. And so in so doing all of that, the position that I'm in now is what I've decided is to try to get this continuance, which doesn't seem to be too much of an issue. I ended up spending about an hour talking with Deborah Jones a few days ago. Deborah is the woman that Rod Class had a conversation with a few weeks back. She's the woman from New York City who was an ex-cop, ex-attorney.
Yes, very interesting, has lots of good information.
If you all remember her, yeah. she's quite an amazing woman. And Rebecca, you're familiar with my friend Tamara Davis, but I don't think that Andrew is. She and I have been working together for the last several months, and we found each other through the OPPT movement people, and she's pretty spot on sister. And she and I have been working together, and she's been in touch with Deborah as well. And so we're sort of trying to formulate the concept of a team to try and look at all of these different aspects of information, from Rod's information to Deborah's information to the OPPT information, and try to figure out the best case scenario for overlaying all of that. Basically, my situation is a test case.
Because you've really got those elements. You've got basically you're looking at the statutes and codes and the laws, because you have to bring that into it, that we have through Rod. Then you're looking at it from the lawyer's standpoint, since Deborah's the ex-lawyer. And then you're looking at it as the corporations posing as governments who have been foreclosed. And our job then is to hold them accountable to that foreclosure. So you're really looking at all four of those things as a part of your strategy going forward, and then being the test case, so that then you can bring that and share it with everybody. Now, am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, absolutely, Rebecca. That's well said. That was a great recap, and that's pretty much it. That's the position where I am currently.
And that can allow people to build templates.
Certainly, absolutely, which is my goal. You know, we're going to have to start with that anyway,
as well as starting with a strategy that as soon as they start violating major laws, you do the felony tort claims, because you know they will. They're going to send it to you in their paperwork.
Oh well, yeah. Certainly it will happen that way. You know, mm-hmm. and it'll be the combination of understanding the situation of who they are and who I am.
They are costume marauders with guns.
Exactly.
Yes. And you know, we're seeing so much of that, like in St. Louis this week, the militarization of the police force in America is just absolutely. Yeah. And we do have, I'm proud to say that the congressman from Georgia is one of the ones who has put this absolutely on the table to stop demilitarizing the police force this week. That is in the legislature before Congress. And he has done this, has joined with Rand Paul and quite a few other people who are trying to get this under control.
Well, they all voted for the militarization of it. You know that, right?
I mean, they must have.
That includes Rand Paul, and that includes all of those other ones.
Yeah. So, the corporation is foreclosed. We just need them to go away. And so
I know the corporation is foreclosed, but we've got squatters right inside the corporation. They're not. They're exactly. Going, no, me. It's mm-hmm. mine. Come get mm-hmm. it.
Right. Yeah. And so that's what we're trying to do here.
Yes, and so this really brings us, well, you're also, let's get an update on the foreclosure situation, because what has happened in your particular situation is that a line in the sand was drawn, and you decided, you know, we all come to that place. We absolutely, most of us who are listening to this call, or most of us who are dealing with these kinds of situations, we come to that place where we make that decision that we're no longer going to just stand by and allow this corporation posing as government to continue to walk all over us and treat us as slaves. And so we start finding ways to hold the system accountable. So you're also going through that with the foreclosure situation. And you had just a very interesting time before the judge, because they're not signing orders. You're finding all kinds of information as you go through that. Do you want to cover just a little bit of that too?
Sure. what I'd also like to do is to have the conversation sort of simultaneous to that. Basically, to me, the absurdity of the fact that I have these two, quote, cases going on, and on the one hand, I feel much more threatened by this silly, simple, you know, non-moving violation of an improper, you know, tag than I do of this foreclosure.
Now, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Well, I certainly can. I mean, it's actually an aspect of the situation that is sort of only coming to light to me for me now, because I actually realize that I feel much more fear because of the level of ignorance of the people I'm dealing with at the municipal level with the traffic situation than I do with the circuit court judge and the, you know, the hired pimp for city mortgage.
Okay. I'm going to bring in something here, because it's not ignorance. The problem is that there has been a decided effort.
And effort.
A decided effort. Okay. And here is a report that I just brought up. It's two North Carolina detectives build a program for dealing with what they call sovereign citizens. And these two detectives out of Greensboro, North Carolina, have made a concerted effort since fall of 2012 to go in and talk to the clerk of courts and the police officers and the judges who are dealing with the traffic citations and things like this. And they're calling those of us who would dare to bring anything like, wait a minute now, just who are you, you know, in relationship to me? Why am I before this court? You know, calling us paper terrorists and the things like that. There has been just a lot of money put into this effort. You know, they have used our money that we bring into the municipalities and places like that to use this to train the officers against us. So part of the reason that you're talking about this is the level of blame.
Militarization.
It is militarization. Anyway, it's propaganda. Let's call it by what it is. It's just pure propaganda that they are feeding all of these people, and they have not questioned. Because look how much our education system has taught us, that we're the freest people on the face of the earth. We have this democracy, and we don't question. Mm-hmm. The problem is that our civil servants get paid, and they're double dipping, and we know that they're double dipping, and they know we know, but this is part of their huge cover-up, and it's also part of the way that they can get away with this, because we are not as organized and don't seem to hold them accountable. I think we need to tell the truth about what's going on here. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely, we do. And that brings me to the next question that I find myself with when I hear you speak that, and I guess my naivety leads me to not necessarily see just yet the level of the corruption of the entire structure, because I look at the bailiff, you know, and I want to think that he thinks that he's doing the right thing.
That's part of their propaganda. That is absolutely part of their propaganda, that these are crazy people who are coming in here and filing all this paperwork. You know, they don't have their heads on straight.
They're issued profiling concepts on what sovereign citizens are. Right. And there are people that are in the different bailiff organizations who have sent what these profiling things are about, how to deal with a sovereign citizen.
Yes.
And they're very specific, because these bailiffs are starting to realize that they can have federal claims brought against them.
Yes. By these sovereigns.
by these sovereigns because mm-hmm. they're protecting their insurance carriers.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's all boils down to responsibility and liability.
Right. That's why paper terrorists, that's why they want to call us paper terrorists. Their weak underbelly, the missing scale on the dragon's body is right there. It's the civil servants at the insurance level who are doing what? Out of propaganda, violating the law.
Yes, exactly. And I can tell you that the level of intimidation that they go through is pretty extreme. And it is basically smoke and mirrors. And I'm going to tell you exactly why I say that. Because as people begin to, you know, get into the kinds of things that you're doing, Jennifer, and as JW from Florida shared with us this week, and as Christina and Jenny and all of these people that we have had on the show, you know, we're all standing up in our various ways, and we're about as paper terrorist type of people as anybody could possibly be. You know, we don't profile. You know, none of us, you know, none of us carry.
I don't want to be filing these papers. I'd much rather be out enjoying the sunshine.
yes, exactly. But we have chosen to do that because we have to stand. And
and
that's really just the way it is. So what I was going to say is that as I've been working with my brother on the child support enforcement, the retired sheriff from our county, you know, we live in a small county, so we know everybody. The retired mm-hmm. sheriff came as a GBI. He portrayed himself as a GBI warn.
GBI is Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
Okay. Yes, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, to warn my brother not to file a lien. So we realized that was their vulnerable spot. And just to go ahead and know what we were doing. You know, that's been the thing that I see you doing. I see Christina doing. I saw me doing. I saw, you know, Jenny Pippin. I saw Jamie that we'll have on soon. You know, all of us went into the knowledge stage on this. We started learning everything that we possibly could about the laws, about the particular situations we were dealing with. We have become the most educated people about these kinds of things, so that when it comes to knowing the laws and knowing what we could do, you know, we're teaching each other as we go through the foreclosures and the child support you know, prison sentences for debtor's prison, for Pete's sakes, or your contempt of court. We're all learning what all of this means, and we're sharing it with this great old huge network. And it begins to be something interesting. But what I found out was that basically they could threaten, but that's all they could do. And when something comes up, you end up having to answer to the best of your ability at the knowledge level that you are. And that's been the most effective thing that we have been able to do, no matter what we're dealing with.
It is a bureaucratic system that is designed to block and block and prevent. When you realize that it's a whole bunch of moving wheels and you can do something such as tort claims and liens that clog up the wheels because there are people that are filling those positions. And all of them have paperwork on their desk.
Okay? Yes.
We know this. We know this strategy. We know what it is that the machine is. The machine is literally giving us entrance into what? Its underbelly.
Yep.
If we see this, as long as they're receiving mail, we can write a billion IM documents. It's not going to change anything other than those people at the desk having to process it.
Yes.
Right.
And it does change, though, Andrew, because there does come a time when they cannot prevail because they're not in the right and they know it. And this is something that JW from Florida shared, and I want to read it to everybody because I think it's important that we share these stories that are coming in. And I just want to thank everybody who takes the time to write to us and let us know what's going on. And it doesn't matter what it is. I'm hearing the absolute horror stories that makes me, stand up and do what I do. And then I'm hearing the success stories like this one. And this is JW in Florida. And he says, my son is 30. His younger brother is 20. My son called me on Monday, June 23rd, 2014. He said, Dad, I'm in court with my brother. They have him on traffic violations. They want him to put in a plea, guilty, not guilty, or no contest. That means that the charges were criminal. Dad, I told him like you taught me, do not make any plea. They told him that he has to put in a plea or he will go to jail. Then they said they would recall him last, just sit in the back of the courtroom. So they both went in the hallway and called me. I told my son to put his little brother on the phone. When he got on the phone, he said in a scared voice, yes, sir. I said, listen to me carefully. You are dealing with street criminals. They are thugs trying to con you out of your money. This is not a court. You are not there for any justice. That is a corporation pretending to be a court. They will rob you if you let them. I said, do exactly what I tell you and you will be okay. When you go back in front of the so-called judge, I want you to say this and only this. He said, yes, sir. Say the following. 1, for the record. 2, I do not recognize you. 3, I do not consent to any of your procedures. 4, I do not plea. 5, for the record. He said, but the judge told me if I don't put in a plea, they will lock me up. I said, just do what I told you to do. Say no more, say no less. Just say that and stand silent. If they ask you any questions, don't answer. If they ask you your name, don't answer. If they ask you to raise your hand and swear in, don't do it. If they say, well, this court is going to put in a plea for you of not guilty, I want you to say, for the record, I do not consent to you putting in a plea for me, for the record. Then I said, now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when you do this. They are going to lock you up. But don't be afraid. Just go to jail. Watch TV, do some exercises, and we will come and get you out. But we will also get paid. You will make a lot of money for them breaking their own rules and violating your rights. I said, remember this. Once you say those words and put those words on the record, anything they do to you outside of letting you go is in violation of their own rules, and they, the court, will try to find some way to get you out of there. Do you understand? He said, yes, sir, and went back in the courtroom. 20 minutes later, my other son called me. I asked what had happened. He said, the judge locked him up. I said, okay, where are you? My son said, I'm driving back home. I said, don't leave your brother there. Go back to that courthouse. He said, Dad, they threw me out of the courthouse. I told them if they violated any of my brother's rights, I would sue everyone in that courtroom. The judge told me they would hold me in contempt of court for disrespecting the court and had the police officer put me out of the building. I told my son, yo, take yo back to that courthouse and go to the clerk of the court and ask for form so-and-so. If they give you any problems, just leave and go to the federal courthouse. See the clerk of that court and ask for form such and such and such. He said, okay, Dad, I'm turning around now, headed back to the courthouse. Later, my son called back and said, Dad, they just tried to arrest me. So I left and I'm now headed to the federal courthouse. I said, okay, you're doing good, son. 3 minutes later, I got a phone call from my other son, the 20-year-old. I said, what? They let you call me from jail? He said, no, sir. I said, where are you? What happened? He said, I said everything you told me to, just like you told me, and I stood silent. Then the judge said, lock him up. The police officer put handcuffs on me and took me in the back. They walked me down the hallway to the back of the building, took the handcuffs off me, put me outside the back door, and closed it. I said, did they say anything to you?
He said, no. I said, didn't I tell you that they were going to find some way to get your out of there? He said, yes, sir. They did just like you said. I said, the reason why they did that way is because there was a lot of people in that courtroom. He said, yes, sir. There were a lot of people waiting to see the judge. I said, the crooks did not want them to know that you did the right thing. They let you go and continued to rob the rest of the people in the courtroom. He said, thank you so much. I said, not a problem. At the young age of 20, you did good, son. I am so proud of you. Now go out and spread the word. He said, I promise I will. This just happened on Monday in court in Atlanta, Georgia.
Amazing story. I absolutely love that
story. I love
it.
I love that story.
Well, and there were two things, though, that really hit me about this story from your story, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the most absolutely funniest things I think I have ever heard, as you were sharing going before the judge with the foreclosure, and you're standing there, and, you know, he asked who you are and all of this, and he answered in kind, and he said, well, I am Judge so-and-so, and then he reached out to try to shake your hand.
Yeah, he did. He reached out and as if to shake my hand, and then he asked me, you don't shake hands? And I said, no.
What was he trying to do in that particular situation?
Oh, contract with me always.
That was exactly what was going on. And then the other thing that was different that you had observed was when you're before the judge and you object, you noticed that, I don't know, one of the people, Deborah, I think you said, the ex-lawyer
was.
Yes, tell that part.
It was Deborah who told me this. I kept objecting to her assumption of jurisdiction. I just continued to object kindly, but sternly and continually, so that it was interruptive to her attempting to continue.
Right.
And when I told Deborah about this, she was like, well, that was your mistake. It's not that you object, it's that you don't consent.
Yes.
And that the terminology is, well, and as I know from my dealings with the paperwork, the foreclosure, it's legalese. It's a different language. And the words that we use in everyday parlance can have a very Orwellian, doublespeak, opposite kind of meaning. And we really have to be aware of that.
Have to be aware of that, because the truth of it is, they assume that we are consenting and that we have agreed. Anybody who, they will say this over and over again, anybody who has gone to jail has agreed in some way or another to go to jail. And the part of it is that we are doing this by our ignorance. There was another report this week that came out that a judge who served on the bench for 12 years was right. And he wrote this several years ago, not Judge Dale. This was another guy who did an excellent report that I will be posting on the website next week, that we're in the final stages of getting all of this set up. But one of the things that he said is that the judges consider the American people to be fundamentally ignorant. We have been so dumbed down by our school systems, and we have not been taught civics. We have not been taught a lot of these things that we talk about on these shows, so that they consider us to be illiterate. So that is one of the most important things that we're doing as we're working with New Earth Nation and the International Tribunal for Natural Justice. One of the things we want to do is connect all of those people who have done such a beautiful job of putting all the education together and then creating a series of these for ourselves so that we can begin to train the people. And one of the most important things that we want to do this year is to train 1,000 private attorney generals, because the most important thing that we have to do is to have other people who are not lawyers, because lawyers are just bar-carrying members of an association, they do not have a special license like we've been taught, that they can go into the courtrooms and they're the only ones who can go in the courtrooms. We've got to have lawyers. We've got to have prosecutors and people who can learn these rules and laws and be able to hold these people accountable.
As well as the professional witnesses that go along to support our information. And I wanted, with the last show we had the people that are starting to put together the professional witness programs. And that is something, Jen, when you begin this case study, you're going to want all of those professional witnesses at your demand. And there are things that certain courts, like some testimony can be done via video. And there's some interesting ways that a whole bunch of people out there can learn really, really fast about getting stuff into evidence.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so, these are the things that we can start doing, the notary
absolutely.
Public. The notary mm-hmm. public, we're finding out this.
Which leads me to the next point in keeping up with the chain of the update. Back to the issue of the traffic citation. In discussing with Deborah what my, quote, next step might be, well, we both agreed that a postponement of continuance is in order, such that I can be able to learn a few more of these steps with a little bit more aplomb. And so what she told me to do, or what she instructed that would be the best thing for me to do, was to take three notaries and enter into a limited contract with one notary such that I have that notary on my behalf request the extension so that I'm not myself. And just, she said, it doesn't matter, whatever, they're lying. You just say whatever, you're seeking counsel. Doesn't matter what the counsel is, just whatever. Just get the continuance is all you need to do right now. And so that's where I am, is I'm actually have been in communication the last couple of days with a couple of notaries. But the problem is just trying to find the three notaries all in the same room at the same time, and then one of them being willing to go with you or on their own to the courthouse to make this happen, because they have to enter it in person on your behalf. So I've just been trying to find that person, trying to find those people for the last few days. Now, Jenny Pippin is a notary, and I've talked to her, and we're trying to keep it so that she doesn't have to drive 6 hours one way just to come and serve some papers for me. But she has so graciously said that she would, were I not to find all the notaries that I need.
If anybody's in Alabama, get in touch with Jennifer. And Jennifer, you want to give out your email so they'll know how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach me at freethepeople333@gmail.com. Leave me a message there, and that'd be great. And as I learn things, I'll be happy to share them.
Hey, Jen, I got a question for you. When you went into court, because I'm looking at the story Rebecca just told us, they asked you to plead guilty, no guilty. Did they ask you anything first?
Well, actually, in my particular corporate situation, you would enter the courtroom and there were three papers that you were required to take from the right-hand side, and you were to sign in. So I signed in without prejudice. And I took the three papers and I went and sat down, and the bailiff, went around instructing everybody to fill out those papers and that you must have those filled out before you go before the judge, or the judge won't see you. And it was very, you must do this. This is what you must do. And I got the papers, and the papers were a written plea, right? Guilty, not guilty, just like the gentleman in the story. Except that was apparently verbal, whereas this was, you just go in and fill it out, right?
here's your guilty plea.
You just absolutely admit to it right there on the spot. So you are consenting.
Exactly. Yes. So I didn't fill it out. I was like, hell no, I'm not filling that out. You know, and then the other one was for I can't remember exactly. I'll have to dig those out and let you guys know on another show. Once I had the first conversation with her when I was called up and didn't have anything filled out, was like, look, you know, no, you don't have jurisdiction. I'm not, no, that's not me. I'm the living, breathing thing. I never said human.
Did she try playing with you?
You know, she really didn't strike me as a player. She was more just sort of like the very bottom lady on the, you know, really just churning them out, you know, not really dealing with like any kind of
challenge. She probably does 100 gavel swings a day.
Oh yeah, easily.
Okay, then that's literally a corporate meat factory.
Right. Yeah, oh, it is.
Okay.
And it was
so
also
one, you clog up the wheel. What happens?
Oh, it just backs up and she's frustrated because they've got more to do and it's just got to keep going. And yeah,
well, that just shows how much we could slow the court systems down right now at the traffic ticket level.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You could grind the whole system to the halt at the parking ticket level.
Right. I saw a story the other day about that very thing. It was a Australian cop who was suggesting that this is exactly what people do, that you just request a continuance for as long as you want, that you have that right. You can be sick. You can do it as many times as you want. Just clog it all up. Now, somebody will have to reschedule. Somebody will have to do some paperwork. Those things, I mean, you know, simple as that. I mean, everybody can do it in their own way. But yes, filing these tort claims, filing these other things, those are the heavy hitters. Those are the ones that you know, pitch the hardest, the fastest.
But now I will warn you here again, the voice of experience dealing with all of this thing. You do need to do something like this notary presentment that you're talking about, because if you just file in a request for a continuance without knowing what you are doing, they will go ahead and hold court as if you were there. Yes, as if you. So you do have to be aware of the tricks that they will do. And those of us who have been dealing with this for some time, this is part of the reason that we're on these shows. We're telling people what to look out for and the kinds of things, you know, it's all of us across the country sharing our stories that are making all of the difference. We're connecting with these networks. We're finding each other and we're really giving the information all across the country, no matter what you're dealing with. If it's traffic tickets, if it's foreclosure, if it's child support, if it's just, you know, oh gracious, you know, there are so many stories out there of the uncaring of these corporations as they throw 72-year-old people out on the streets over these foreclosures when they wouldn't work with them. I mean, there's so many horror stories.
I want to tell a different positive story. This came out about a year ago. I know I've mentioned this before, about a guy in England, a Russian man, who got a pre-approved credit card in the mail.
Yes.
And this incredible gentleman did was looked at the agreement and said, all right, I'm going to photocopy it, and I'm going to change the wording so I have an unlimited debt, I never have to repay the card, and a whole bunch of other things that made it totally in his benefit. Zero interest, the whole nine yards. Sent it back to them. They accepted it. They sent him a card. He ran up a bunch of money to like $80,000, nothing super extravagant. And then they came after him, and he presented this to the bank, and the court said, you know, you guys have to read your own contracts.
Exactly. And he got away with it because there, you know, he had changed it. There was nothing that anybody could do. And it's all about contract. It's all commerce. And so there are just so many things. And one of the things that just fascinates me about this is how much we all get into learning when we start asking the questions. I know that has been your experience, Andrew, and your experience, Jennifer, and my experience. You know, when we start asking questions, then the knowledge stage just automatically comes in.
as a big part of it, which is why we're trying to get out here and do the radio shows and put the Operation Spitwad together and things like that, so that we can begin to raise awareness about all of these issues and find ways for people to plug in and start doing the you know, whatever's required.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we're all here to do. What's required? Let's do it.
Let's talk out loud. Out loud here. Okay. In a general week or a general month, people get one or two credit card applications, and as soon as you open a new one, they're going to send you five or six more, right?
Yep.
If somebody really, really wanted to get extravagant, you could apply or go to the email where they'll send you the contract. You could do several hundred in one day and rewrite all the contracts to the same thing to be in a trust. And I bet you every single one of those banks would accept that. Oh. That's the power and effectiveness of
no
of
doubt
what could be done. If somebody really said, all right, if this ballsy United Kingdom Russian person did it and got away with it, who else can do that? In the internet world, anything is possible.
Oh, absolutely. Just do it. Okay. Just do it.
And you know, the other thing that I want to encourage people to do is we're putting together Operation Spitwad. You know, the whole thing here is we're accused of being paper terrorists. Oh, I'm getting some feedback there. I hope it's not coming out.
No, I don't hear any feedback.
Okay.
I'm good.
We're accused of being paper terrorists. So the most, you know, let's use a lot of humor. Let's use a lot of irony. And let's teach everybody. Let's put together YouTubes. You know, those of you out there who listen, you know, creative people, if you're a cartoonist or if you have some good ideas, you know, I'm already getting some of these in.
Strategy sessions.
Yeah. You know, what can you do to basically make fun of the fact that the court system is looking at us as paper terrorists simply because we are questioning and coming up with ways to say, we know you're a corporation posing as a government. We know you've been foreclosed and we're not willing to be your slaves anymore. You know, that's really what this whole thing is all about. It's to the place where people have to say no more.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have been thinking about the aspect of the making fun of them, particular angle, and that really resonates with me. When I actually am speaking it out loud, like these conversations with these judges, to myself as I walk around my house and wonder what that particular conversation is going to possibly look like when I have it again, assuming I have to have it again. Mm-hmm. you know, I speak these things and I out loud to myself, and I think it's absurd. The whole thing is absurd. So if I can keep it absurd and light and remember all these things, then, you know, that is so much more arresting. And to everyone who happens to be there witnessing it as well.
Yes.
You know, that's one of the things that Casey said to me when we left the courthouse last week after the foreclosure, the 2 minutes that I was before that judge. And Andrew and the people who were listening, you guys don't know my story from the foreclosure angle in so far as what I've done up to this point. But suffice to say that I have made all my presentments regarding requests for proper funding and whatnot, and they're unable to provide, of course, and so they don't, and so they.
What have you entered into evidence? Have they sent you anything that has any kind of false signatures anywhere?
No.
No signatures.
See, here's the thing.
See, this is where we need the forensic document analysis. Yeah.
Right, except for that I don't even have that situation. My situation is one of the cleanest situations that could possibly exist with regard to taking the bank down right at its core, okay? And this is City Monster, okay? I got my loan 10 years ago, 11 years ago, 2003. My loan, whatever we're calling it.
Your credit.
Right. Access to this thing called credit in 2003, May, okay? And I did it after having participated in this program called NACA, which is Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America. And they had the program where you followed their footsteps and you did all these things and you proved yourself a worthy slave that you could pay the monthly payment. And there was a counselor type individual who monitored you and you met with them once a month. And, you know, and after a period of time, that person, you know, would tap you, knight you into, yes, you're worthy. And you'd be given, you know, this loan. And the benefits for going through all this preparatory work was that you received off the bat one full percentage point below prime. And that was sort of the wooing factor of going through this thing. Plus, it was an education to me about sort of how this stuff worked. So when it came down to actually signing the supposed mortgage, you know, I felt more prepared than maybe the average person. And so anyway, the way this whole thing works is that that organization basically would get federal grants to prep individuals, and then they would wholesale them to these bigger banks like Citi and, you know, and these lumps, and then be paid like a finder's fee for prepping me and making me this really solid mortgage-backed security.
Right? Yeah, right.
Well, so those of us like me were those assets that they're still holding on to as the best quality thing they got. Right? They haven't merged me like out into a million signatures.
Okay.
Right? I'm clean to them right there at City Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And all my documentation has been the IAM documents. Every single bit of it. The rejection, the IAM document, the initial will and the word of IAM, then the declaration of IAM, and then the declaration of direct deposit of IAM, and then the declaration of receipt of IAM. And then from that is the declaration of conversion of IAM, of my value, to convert it into whatever I choose to convert it into. And then from there, anything that comes to me is then a declaration of rejection without dishonor, because I have stood my ground and I have said who I am.
And you have basically served notice to the system that you know where the value comes from, that you are reclaiming all of the value that has been utilized by this. And we know through the War Powers Act that all of the property of the people was conscripted by these corporations and utilized for the War Powers effort. And, you know, we know that there was a price put on our heads at birth. I mean, we've got absolute proof of this. This is not something that we're just supposing. We have the black ink on white paper, the documents that prove this. And then we've got the foreclosure from OPPT that traced it right back to this international parent corporation. So you are standing on firm ground here, and you're saying, well, I am the value that this corporation thought they could steal from me. They thought they could take my birthright and use it for their own designs, for their war powers, and for their, you know, designs against the people. And so I have reclaimed that because the paperwork that was done reclaimed it for me in such a way that now I can stand on that with firm resolution, because I know that it was my signature that provided the credit, and I know that the so-called loan was paid the day that it was signed by me. Only the bank stole that instead of, you know, putting it back into my account.
And in cahoots with the regulators.
Yes. And so we know all of this. And so we're standing on a rather firm foundation here. It's just that the courts and the foreclosure mills have been so used to everybody just rolling over and playing slave that they haven't been standing up to it. So what you're doing is one of the cleanest ways of being able to stand and you know, shine the truth back to the system. That's the way I see it. It really has been awesome.
I've actually been having a great time with this foreclosure thing. The traffic citation is stressful. But yeah, this thing has actually been kind of fun. I have enjoyed sort of watching these guys, you know.
reach across from the bench to shake your hand.
Oh, he did. I mean, he looked like Superman, you know. He had that hair, and he just had this kind of, you know, Steve Carell boyish man kind of look to him. And he was trying to be Mr. Friendly, you know. I was like,
he was really testing you.
He was totally testing me. And I didn't fall for it in the least. It's so funny. I have the less than 2 minute recording because that's all it was. Because, you know, I said, no, you know, no, thank you.
I'm not agreeing to your false contract, sir.
No, I'm not shaking any hands. No, thank you.
Let's strategize here for a second. In a given month, if you look at your mail, how many contracts are sent to you? From our perspective.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who knows? I mean, you get a contract from the electric company. You get a contract from the telephone company. You get the contracts from the credit card companies. You get a contract from Dish Network or DirecTV, or, you know, just think of all of them.
Dozens and dozens. That is where we, as the audience, have to strategize.
Yep.
This is where Deborah is really working hard to do these kinds of things.
Yeah. That is where a small few can do a great, 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 great bellyache.
Absolutely.
Bellyache.
Absolutely. So that leads us to the next, what we're trying to push forward, Rebecca, in that I still haven't been able to talk to Tamara. Everybody's got a bunch of stuff going on right now, but we're setting the synchronicity such that we can maybe all participate in a seminar with Deborah.
Yep.
You, I, Jenny, Tamara, and her girlfriend Kat, and whoever else wants to join us. I was thinking maybe we could talk Lamont into coming.
Yeah.
And then we could all learn about these procedures that, basically, the way I understand it, it's you know, diplomatic immunity.
Oh.
Also, then, what we need is people to go to your local courtroom with a GoPro or a cell phone camera and start recording the procedures.
Just
why?
Yeah.
Because that on a YouTube channel is what people can prepare for. So when they know they want to be that first person in line. Why? Or they know if they're the next six people behind them are doing what? The same defense.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's something that's
occurred to me is just to head down to the courthouse and just start hanging out down there and getting really comfortable. Taking my camera and filming.
Sitting there watching
that judge.
and my thinking is that if we can begin to get people who are trained to be the notaries and the private attorney generals and those who are willing to do the knowledge stage to sit on the grand jury and to do the OPPT filings and do the knowledge stage that Tamara and Jennifer and Deborah will put together. And there are so many out there who are already doing such a super job on this. I mean, the grand jury movements all across the country, there are so many. And so it's a matter of all of us really holding hands and being willing to share all of this. I mean, that's been one of the greatest things that I've been able to witness this past year is the anti-foreclosure networks that have risen up, the witness people who are coming forward, and all of the different kinds of resources that we're all putting together. And so partly what we want to do is to hear from those people who have already put all of this together, and then we're going to do a really good job of putting all of these in one place so that people will have to do their own knowledge stage. We're not going to tell you exactly how to do it because, like Jennifer says, there are as many ways to think about this as there are people. You have to do a lot of the knowledge stage yourself. That's just the way it is. But we don't have to be functionally illiterate when it comes to something that is important as being a slave to a corporation, for Pete's sakes. Come on, guys. You know, we need to, you know, it's time that we really wake up and start paying attention to what's going on right in our own back doors.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we have to do.
Yep. That is what we have to do.
Nobody's going to do it for us.
Unfortunately, no. And there are, you know, those of us who really are. And our numbers are legion. You know, there are people, this is just one small group of voices that are being raised to say, okay, we're willing to do this. You know, we're willing to share our stories, and we want you to share your stories with us. And my inbox just keeps getting crowded. I'm going to put my email out there. It's rebecca@humanitad.org. As I work with New Earth Nation on this international tribunal, and as Andrew and Santi and Jennifer and all of these people that we have on the show who work with us to do a lot of these things, you know, we really are getting the information together to be able to share with people all across. So that's really our commitment to what we're doing here. We'll be giving you more updates about Rod Class. We're doing the PAG. We're putting the PAG training together. He had some very important things come out in his case this week. So we'll have a good update with him next on the next show. And we also have a webinar lined up toward the end of the month before he goes to this trial on September 2nd. So there's just a lot of things going on that we'll be telling everybody about.
Yeah, there's so much going on behind the scenes. That's why we've been doing these radio shows every Friday. And we are going to continue to do some incredible work. Rebecca and Jen, this has been an absolutely incredible show.
It's been fun.
I got a question, though. And this question is, it's philosophy. We know these courts are false. We know they're fake. And there are these TV shows that show the court the way it is. I would think if we could brainstorm on air and get a whole bunch of people to one idea about showing how fake the court is. And Google Hangouts is a format. We just need some actors to fill a role on a Google Hangout. And we can provide the script if we just have people go to their local courts and record. That's what they need. Training.
Yeah, we just play it out.
Just play it out.
I mean, I love it. That's a great idea, Andrew.
It
I like
is
that.
A great idea.
So, if you are not a law person and are an actor or actress and want to get a chance at a million views because you're the one that just helps someone's video go viral.
Sweet. I love it. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
We'll just be filming all these little costume parades.
Exactly. And we could put real costumes on them if you want. So costume designers, you can get in and make the judges look good.
Oh, it's terrific. It's a great idea.
You know, we want to do a criminal case. Ooh, we got a prosecutor.
Yep.
we get to have a bad guy. Who wants to act out the bad guy? The one that's forcing you into your contracts.
Yes, Shylock.
Who is the Shylock? Exactly. And you could have like their names above him. This guy's the Shylock at all times. Never agree to him.
And you know, one of the other things that we really are working on behind the scenes is putting together a private attorney general show. Because if you understand the private attorney general concept, they are the officers who have been designated within the Constitution to hold the public officials accountable. So as we begin to get more organized and get these 1,000 private attorney generals out there, we can begin to do more of these kinds of things, because it's really going to be up to us to do this knowledge stage and to find the ways to hold the courts accountable as we begin to ferret out the truth and really get down in there. Instead of saying our government wouldn't do that to us, we have to open our eyes and just look until we know the truth. And that's a big part of what we're doing, is just reminding people of who we are and what's really going on underneath the covers, that we need to pull back and look at it very, very, you know, with wide open eyes. That's a big part of what we need to do over the next year here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll have to call it Project Eyes Open. What does it take?
Watch out with the spit wad if it's Project Eyes Open.
It's eyes open, there's a spit wad coming.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And the paper tigers are roaring in the background.
Yep.
You guys, it's been fun. I think we've accomplished a lot.
All right.
And thanks to the world who might be listening.
Yes. And
we are broadcasting interglobally into the internets of the whole globe.
Absolutely. Yes, and I really do just invite everybody to continue sharing your stories. If you need connection with some of the networks and you really don't know, you know, which way to turn, just reach out to us, because we'll do our best to, you know, put you in touch with the networks that you need. And they're really out there. I mean, that's the thing that I encourage you to know, that there are people just all across the world. I'm in touch with people from Australia and India and New Zealand. It just is amazing how big this network really is. So let's all do our part. Just join together and be a part of it. And heck, do like we're doing. Have fun with it. Why not?
Exactly. Have fun.
Yep.
All right, everybody. This has been an outstanding show. I want to thank Santi and BBS Radio. You guys have been an outstanding host, and you shall find us again, same time, same channel at BBS Radio. Thanks a lot, everyone. Take it easy.
Good night.